The scripture today is Psalms 91, 1 through 2, and 9 through 16. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You who live in the shelter of the Most High or abide in the shadow of the Almighty will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. No scourge come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them with long life, and I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The word of the Lord.
It is time for the gospel. The gospel is honored in our church by standing if you are capable and comfortable doing so. Let us hear Jesus' words to us. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of Man, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, to you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Front of your bulletin, it's not real clear, but you can see, well, there it is on the overhead. You see there, there's a Swiss Army knife. And on this particular model of Swiss Army knife, it's called the Explorer. I'm not sure it's even made anymore, but it has a magnifying glass. I could use that sometimes. How about the rest of you? It's getting to that age where I'm trying to make things work. I thought about the Swiss Army knife, and it comes... How many of you remember MacGyver? Matter of fact, it's part of our language now. What are you, MacGyver or something? You know, he could take an old kid's kite, a piece of duct tape, and some dental floss and build a 747 out of it. And it was amazing. And it's come back. The series that started in 85 with, what's his name? Richard Dean Anderson. They have the series has got a reboot in 2016, and it's going along happily with a new guy. And so they're re-MacGyvering things. And it's become a term. That's a verb. We're going to MacGyver this. So it's become part of our culture. I thought about this as I thought about how we're traveling through Lent. And how traveling through Lent, we're going to need tools to do that, and we need resources. And so a Swiss Army knife and MacGyver and our creativity. Because I think our world needs some changes. I think there are some things in the world that need work. Our political environment, some of our social environment, our immigration environment, gun violence. There's a lot of stuff that needs some care, some work, some solutions. And so we should dig out our MacGyver Swiss Army knife and see what we can do. And what resources are available to us as Christians? Now, it's interesting to begin that discussion, because the first resource that we would think about, besides God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, would be Scripture. That's my first. Now, maybe it's because this is kind of my occupation. But Scripture seems like this would be one of the first resources we would turn to. Yes? Agreed? But the Scriptures this morning are intriguing. They're kind of unsettling. Here is the devil tempting Jesus, and he's using Scripture. He's using Scripture to tempt the Lord. So Scripture, we need to be aware of that. It's possible to use Scripture for nefarious purposes. And we need to be aware of that. We need to see that Scripture is this gift. But like anything that is human recorded, human held, human editable. Did I say that word right? I don't know. But things that we have some ability to manipulate, they are inherently, possibly flawed. Scripture in itself, I believe, is pure, but how it's used and misused, we need to be careful. For example, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We've all heard that. Society has heard that. Society has learned that. And in an increasingly secular society, that's what they hear the Bible saying. They don't hear that other side of the Scripture where Jesus says, pray for those who abuse you. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, for a tooth for a tooth. But I say, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. He is correcting and changing, because that has become a sense of validation for vengeance, for revenge. Scripture still provides that deep central guide to us. And it's never in dispute when we take and focus it through the heart of Jesus Christ. We understand that. He illustrated that. The woman caught in the act of adultery. The Scripture is clear, and they knew it. The people were testing Jesus in doing this. They'd found her. They knew the law. They knew the rules. And they could apply this Scripture in this painful way. And they knew Jesus would dispute that. This is not about some vicious set of torturous rules. Several weeks ago, the snow was sliding off the roofs and thumping. Do you recall? Some of you were here. It hasn't been doing that, but now the lights are coming and going. The Lord is speaking to us. Let us respond and hear, shall we? Actually, I fear it happens to be more of human technology, and we'll have to endure that. But Scripture becomes central to how one of the tools that we can draw out of our MacGyver's tool bags of ability to respond to the world and to do things and to take that Scripture seen through the non-judgmental, loving, hospitable heart of Jesus Christ. So Lent began. Ash Wednesday, beautiful service. Again, music, such a balm. And words to gather. And the ashes to remind us of our mortality. And it begins a 40-day journey. 40 days. It doesn't seem much, does it? It depends on your point of view, I suppose, whether you're in a terrible rush and the days flash by, or whether each day seems to be an eternity. But 40 days, and 40 is this one of those biblical numbers. It's an important biblical number. Can you remember 40 any time in biblical history? Any time when you've heard that number 40 used anywhere in your biblical history? And I'll listen for people to help me here.
I'm hearing somebody, but not clearly. Say again. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. And the flood of Noah. I remember that one. What about the Hebrews who wandered in the wilderness for 40 days? 40 years. Thank you. I knew that I was going to say it off. Thank you for correcting that. 40 years. Intriguingly, a generation. Those who were part of the Exodus were probably not those who entered into Cana. That it was their children. So there was a time of transformation there. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. There are others, but we understand that. And here's 40 days in Lent. Now you can go and sit down with the calendar and figure that out. You have to leave out the Sundays or something. It's kind of interesting the way you have to figure it. But 40 days from now, 40 days of preparing, of journeying, of MacGyvering, and figuring out where we're going to go. So one of the tools I delineated was Scripture, but John Wesley set out what he called his quadrilateral. How many of you have heard of the Wesleyan quadrilateral? Quadrilateral meaning four, and there are four legs on the quadrilateral. And Scripture was one, it was the first one, but there are three others. On a four-legged table, there are three other legs. One of them is called reason. Reason was one of the things that we turn to as a resource to deciding how to respond to things in the world, how to solve things, and reason is an amazing thing. Some people discount science as opposing religion. My dad was a scientist. My dad was a faith-filled man. His father was a Presbyterian minister. He says there's no conflict between the two. He said there's a point where science ends, where religion has the only sway. And it will always be so. There are some things we can know, there are some things we will never know, but we have to know by faith. And so the two are companions. I don't understand how people seem to think they're at odds. But reason is an important part of our journey. Reason has helped us to realize that people with leprosy have a disease. This is not because they have sinned or because they're sinners and because they're evil and God is punishing them. This is a disease that can be corrected, that can be controlled. It brings to mind a challenge of ours to do the same thing with alcoholism. We have long punished those who are alcoholics. And to understand that this disease is a transforming journey. I am not completely through that journey myself. It has impacted my family. But understanding it as a disease changes some of the dynamics of it. So reason is about science, is about understanding and about learning. You know, when God created humanity, the arms, legs, torso, and a head, and a brain. And we have this amazing brain, and I do believe that God created it to be used. So, there is reason. Two other legs. One is called tradition. Tradition. We should start doing a dance and a song there, right out of Fiddler on the Roof. How many of you that's running in your heads now? Tradition is a gift to us because it helps us understand how over thousands of years we have learned to be in relationship with God and how we have found ways that are fulfilling for us to be faithful peoples. Tradition is a guide to us. It is something often created by humans, but out of wisdom and out of experience and hopefully positive tradition. I fear there are some traditions that are not as positive. That's another sermon for another time, perhaps. But the last leg of the quadrilateral is experience. Experience. And when I first heard of the Wesleyan quadrilateral, I thought, experience, well, that's the same as tradition, isn't it? Isn't that the same sort of thing? But that's not at all what Wesley was inferring. He was saying, how have you experienced God? Has God touched you in a special way? How have you known God to be God? I remember as a kid saying, well, I'm not sure if there is a God. So I sat down next to the curtains. I said, okay, God, just you and me, just wiggle the curtain just a little bit to show me. It didn't wiggle. You see, because I wanted proof instead of faith. But personal experience has helped me to realize God in many, many, many ways. And God has been in your lives. And that experience is very, very real. Some experience comes through our families and understanding their journeys. Understanding the saints that have gone before us. Think about those people that you knew in your lives that were models of how to be in the faith, that brought us to this place, that helped us become people on the journey. They weren't perfect. And be careful that we don't try and make them perfect, because we change their reality and we diminish ours. They were people with feet of clay, as are we. But those people that went before us, those saints that traveled before us, that showed us the path, that brought us forward, their experiences helped nurture us. I was thinking about the Lonesome Valley. Jesus walked this Lonesome Valley. The hymn we sang. Thank you for picking that, Dawn. Kind of a bittersweet hymn. It's kind of bitter in this Lonesome Valley and this loneliness and the struggles that we have to go through, that Jesus went through. And that's kind of a painful sort of thing. But the realization of those, and the realization that that's part of our human experience, brings us to the sweet part of that. The sweet part that God is with us as we come through the valley. God is walking with us in the valley and calling us to gather and to worship. The scripture had a phrase in it. I should have had that laid out in front of me. I don't. No evil shall befall you, and no scourge come near your tent. That's what Deb read in the psalm. No evil shall befall you, nor scourge come near your tent. And it's worth noting what's being said there. No evil shall befall you. Evil is human transgression. It's us sinning, lying, cheating, stealing, judging, doing all the things that we fail to be on the perfect path. Things where we miss the mark. Those are evils. Those are moral transgressions. There shall be no scourge come near your tent is a different thing. Scourge are avalanches and tornadoes and floods and cancer. Things that are a part of this world that is not the Garden of Eden. And things that are in the world around us. But in our faith, we can lean on God and know that our spirits are safe from such. Lent is not a journey about scourges at all, except perhaps to question our response to them. But Lent is a journey about evil and about our moral transgressions and how to bring them to reign, how to expose them to light where they are dispelled by God. And that brings us, hello. Thanks, Paya. I think she's telling me it's time. Yeah, we're. The last tool in the Swiss Army knife. God with us. God with us. That's probably the most important single tool. God with us. Christ in the scriptures. God in all of the ways God is God. And the Holy Spirit with us this very instant. The Holy Spirit riding with us, a part of us, behind us, in front of us, guiding us, leading us, nudging us, holding us back when we want to stray. Here is God eminently with us. And that tool, perhaps the greatest of all, our MacGyvering tool to journey through Lent. May you feel that spirit strongly. Amen.